Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
How you doing? This is Penn Jillette.
Yeah, that's really my name, Penn Jillette.
What kind of stupid name is that? It's Penn Jillette's name. Penn Jillette sitting here in Las Vegas, sitting across from me, typing feverishly in his computer, is Michael Goodeau. Good morning, Mr. Goodeau.
Good morning, Mr.
Jillette. And we're at 866-313-FREE, 866-313-FREE, 3733, PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. If you go to PennRadio@gmail.com, you could send us Gmails instantly. And Goodeau does not listen to a word I say. All he does is read your Gmails. So your position will be completely broadcast. All you got to do is type it in there, and he'll be just squawking it out at the other microphone.
That's correct.
And you can also call 866-313-FREE. That all you're doing is reading Gmails?
Yes, that is true.
Yeah, that's all he does.
That's all I do.
And this is Free FM, so you can say what you want. And speaking of saying what you want, jury said something that a lot of Americans consider to be really nutty. The Al-Qaeda plotter, Zacharias Moussaoui, is going to spend his entire life without the possibility of parole in prison in Colorado. In Colorado. Am I saying Colorado right?
Close enough.
Okay, because I get
people know what you're talking about.
I know, but Oregon?
Oregon.
Oregon. And Colorado. I always worry about Colorado? Rado.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. He will have plenty of time to learn how to say Colorado.
But no one to talk to.
No one to talk to. He's going to be in solitary confinement.
He can say it any way he wants at this point.
And a lot of people are upset about this. If you got something to say about this, 866-313-FREE, 3733. I know why you people who at least have tuned into the show as opposed to accidentally stumbling upon it. You people that tune in want to know what the nut point of view on this is. And I'm just the man to give it to you. Here's the wing nut ready to talk. I am so okay. I'm so totally okay with him not being put to death. I think that, first of all, on a moral front, I don't think it is right for the state to kill people. I'm against the death penalty. So already I'm that kind of fruitcake. Wacko, you know. Already I'm in that category. But on top of that, I think that this trial shows a really good example of some of the other reasons you don't put someone to death. One of the reasons, of course, we always talk about is that you may get an innocent person put to death. The chances in this seem to be knocking on zero. The chances that this guy is completely innocent when he was busted at a flight school where he was practicing, learning to be able to fly one of those planes. I think that the chances that he wasn't involved in this, since he says he was, are pretty slim. And in his final statement, he declared, "God curse America, God save Osama bin Laden, you'll never get him." That's pretty clear, I think, that he's guilty of this particular crime. He was part of the plotting to do this. So that whole argument that we may not put to death an innocent person is all gone away. Gone. Can't use that one. But, you know, he was one of the ones going to the flight school. So there are the people, the 11 people who flew into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and killed themselves in order to kill a lot of other people. And we wonder a lot about what those guys were thinking and what kind of guys those guys were and how to maybe find them sooner. And Moussaoui is there. You know, we see the kind of what it is to have a fundamentalist, that wants to be a martyr. And, I mean, he was planning to die in 9/11, and we kind of thwarted his plan. While we're seeing if we have what anyone else has to say, I want to get my own point in. Now, I do want to say that he's yelling here. This is another thing Moussaoui's yelling. "I will be free, and my liberation will be proof that we are the soldiers of God, and you are the army of Satan." This is something rarely a religious fanatic gives you. They give you a testable hypothesis, right?
Yes.
He says, "I will be free," meaning I'll be out of prison, "and my liberation," he means from prison, "will be proof that the soldiers of God, we are the soldiers of God, and you are the army of Satan." So the proof that we're the army of Satan and he's the army of God will be in his release. I don't think his release is ever going
to
happen.
He claims George Bush is going to release him before he's out of office. And so we don't even have to wait that long.
Wow.
You know, it's not like 19 years from now we'll go, oh, darn, he was right. We are the army of Satan. We let him go.
He thinks George Bush will release him in some sort of trade or something,
yeah,
right? Yeah. So. Yeah. But what's interesting about this is, you know, don't get too excited that this absolutely proves that Islam is not true, because he doesn't say, you know, I wish he'd stated it the other way. If I am not free and I do not get liberated, that will be proof that we are not soldiers of God. See, if you state that in the negative, you can really check it out. You can really get you can really get proof on that. And but what I want to talk about is something that, you know, this is the nut point of view. I'm reading over everything that was said. I'm reading over the court stuff, and the judge in the case. The judge said, when the proceeding is over, everyone else in the room will leave to see the sun, hear the birds, and they can associate with whomever they want. There's some ellipsis in there. That's not her exact quote. You, speaking to Massawi, will spend the rest of your life in a supermax prison. It's absolutely clear who won. And the judge then told Massawi, you came here to be a martyr in a great big bang of glory, but to paraphrase the poet T.S. Eliot, instead you will die with a whimper. I agree with the judge on almost everything except the use of the word paraphrase. Paraphrase, I believe, means to say in other words. So if she had said, as T.S. Eliot said, the world will end, to paraphrase T.S. Eliot, the world will end not in a big explosion, but rather in a sigh. That is paraphrasing T.S. Eliot. But to use his quote about the end of the world about an individual is not paraphrasing, but rather alluding to in a different context. But other than that, Judge, I'm with you all the way.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You're okay with the moral implications, but you're upset with the grammar
of the judge. Yes.
The grammar of the judge. Okay.
I also,
point you want to make on the radio this morning.
I'm the one who did, you know, an hour on In This Ever-Changing World in Which We Live In. Yes, I'm okay with everything. I have problems with the word usage. I think that's a sloppy use of the word paraphrase. And this seems like a very smart woman, this judge, and she should be more careful with the usage.
We have to let him off on a technicality.
No, don't let him off. I'm not saying letting him off. The judge can say anything she wants. I also like very much, for those who think he's getting off too early, I love the quote of Musawi's mother. His mom said, now he is going to die in little doses. He is going to live like a rat in a hole. What for? You are so cruel.
That's his mom?
Yeah, that's his mom saying. Yeah, you know, we are a little cruel. You know, you blow up our buildings, kill a lot of our citizens. We get a little pissed. Yeah. Sorry, mom. I mean, we love moms all over the world, but we're not going to send them to France. You can feed them fresh croissants every day. Did I say croissant right?
You did.
Good, cool. Do we have any phone calls here?
We do have phone calls here.
Okay, let's take a phone call.
All right, let's talk to Mike on line two. I think we got him.
Hey, Mike, what's up, man?
Hello?
How you doing, boss?
Hey, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I'm sorry?
I said very well, thank you. What's up?
I just want to say, I agree with the judge's decision, because if they did put him to death and everything, then he would become like a martyr for them, and, you know, this is a more fitting term for him, because, you know, he wanted to die. He was sent here to die for his cause and everything, and this is kind of, you know, giving him a slap in the face.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's there's nothing. I mean, it's less heroic, it's less sexy, it's less groovy to rot in a prison in, of all places, Colorado, than it is to be executed and given that big world stage. I'm also totally okay with him making any statements he wants. I think that he is, from such a nut point of view, what he believes is so evil, that the judge could have let him go on. She cut him off after like 5 minutes and said, we won't use this as a political, you can't use this as a political place. I would have let him go on forever. I think the more, there's nothing to fear in what these Al-Qaeda people have to say, because what they're saying is so wrong that anybody can recognize that right away. Let him talk all he wants. Then lock him up in a little rat hole where he can die piece by piece. Thanks a lot for calling, man. You got a... We're at 866-313-FREE, 866-313-FREE, that's 3733. Talking about, this is Penn Jillette, Michael Goudeau, talking about the Zacharias Massawi judgment that he would spend the rest of his life in prison and not be put to death. We got another call you want
to
take?
Let's talk to John on line one. Let's have John.
Hey, John, what's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Never better, boss. Never better. How are you?
Not too bad.
Good.
Death is too easy.
Yeah. Death speaking from someone who's experienced it.
He's going to, just like they said, die a little bit every day for the rest of his life, which is going to be a very long time. Morally, I've got nothing really against the death penalty. Do I believe that some people should die? Yes, I do. But in this particular case, I'd rather see him rot.
So you're a pro death penalty guy who's against Massawi getting the death penalty. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
Wow. And I thought I had the nut point of view. That's really great.
Boy,
I
love what a mean guy.
I love people who think out their point of view carefully. That certainly is not along the general lines. Talk some more about that. I like this point of view.
Well, you know, the Muslim religion, the Muslim faith, believes, you know, that a soldier of Islam who is killed in combat or killed for the cause gets his 40 virgins and lives out eternity in paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why give him that right now?
But aren't you doing this? Aren't you doing this?
Why don't we make him into a pig farmer and make him take care of pigs for the rest of his life and bacon?
You know, give him nothing to eat but bacon. I am so behind. And this is something, I'm a bacon lover. I'm a bacon lover. So this can really give people a wacky point of view. I think having him live on nothing but bacon for the rest of his life is that's a nutty idea. Boy, I'm going to keep...
That certainly falls into the unusual category.
Yeah, but,
unusual, but very tasty.
Yes. Yeah, not necessarily cruel. Certainly unusual.
But you know, the only thing I don't like about your thinking, and there is, I mean, I do disagree with the death penalty, but on the logic of this, the only thing that bothers me is, aren't you then accepting the rules of Islam to decide on your punishment? Aren't you then believing that he's actually going to be a martyr and go on to a wonderful life beyond in depriving him from that? I mean, aren't you kind of buying in a little bit to their point of view? Are you just saying we look into his heart and find the worst punishment we can give for him personally? Is that your point of view?
No, I believe that you have to accept the faith of your friends and your enemies.
Uh-huh. So you think that he should be taken at his word and we should believe that the people that flew into the World Trade Center were, in some sense, martyrs and are going on to a great reward? You're willing to respect that?
No, I'm not willing to respect that, but mm-hmm. I'm willing to respect it if it causes them more grief than know.
So your point of view is just, this guy did the worst thing possible, let's look into his psyche, find out what the worst thing we can do to him is, and then do that. That's really as far as it goes, is that right?
Stick it in him and twist it.
Okay. That's a way to put it. Well, you know, I'm the one who came up with Bacon and a Kiss Airlines, where everybody that flew on the airplane would have to have a taste of bacon and then also kiss a person of the same sex so that you knew that they weren't a religious fanatic right when they got on. So I'm telling you, a lot of my politics center around the idea of bacon. I'm a real fan of bacon politics. So when you talk about having him work in a pig farm, I'm afraid of that, because working in a pig farm, he could escape, perhaps disguised as a pig, you know. But I think that having him in solitary and just be stuffing in really good like that, you know, that Jimmy Dean pork sausage, the spicy ones and patties, fry it up real nice, real good.
Right outside the door.
Right outside the door, and then just keep handing it to him while he gets hungrier and hungrier. Because if you're going to go on a hunger strike, you know, when David Blaine was in the box in London doing that stupid hunger thing, a lot of people like threw baseballs at him and screamed at him and talked about what a loser he was. That's all fine. But if they'd have cooked up a big batch of bacon right below him so that smell wafted in. Well, thanks a lot. I think people did. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for calling, man. Boy, one of my favorite calls we've ever gotten. You know what I mean? Someone who is pro-death penalty but not for this guy. And I think that there's a wonderful editorial in the New York Daily News. And I really like this editorial because it is so opposite what I believe. And it really is all about this. They absolutely made a huge mistake in giving him life imprisonment. He should have been gone, put to death. 866-313-FREE. Let's take another call.
Talk to Mike on line five.
Hey, Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you?
I have two things to say. First off, I'm glad that they didn't kill him because now, you know, nobody in jail is going to protect him from his daily beatings and, you know, butt love and all that stuff.
Well, actually, they are. I believe you are wrong on both the daily beatings and the butt love. He will be put in solitary. He will not be in general pop. Certainly, okay. In general pop, he's gone in a second.
That is true.
I also believe
for a day that he gets to walk around with other people.
I don't know if he will be.
Okay. The other thing, though, is, you know, and I have to say this just because of my scientist background, I always have to look at every side. And it's interesting to listen to everybody calling up and saying, you know, that this is such a, you know, terrible thing that they did and all that, when, you know, you have to think, what would we say if we were the ones attacking somebody else, you know, and we felt justified and you know, righteous, and then one of our comrades got captured. You know,
so you're seeing him not as I think that all of this centers on the difference, and it is, I believe, a very important but a very difficult distinction between a terrorist and a combatant. I mean, we have the entire world makes a huge difference between those two. He was not an enemy soldier, but rather he was a terrorist. And do you see a distinction there, or do you see no distinction at all?
Yeah, I do see a distinction. The only thing is, you know, then I think back to, you know, the American Revolution where, you know, the English, you know, marched through in large phalanx and we hid behind trees and they said that, you know, we were fighting unfairly. And,
uh-huh.
And you know, the distinction now is, you know, these people aren't, you know, fighting in fatigues and declaring war, but rather, you know, being very underhanded about it.
Well, yes. I mean, that's a parallel to draw. I think that once you draw that parallel, however, then you have broken down a very, very important moral point, which is essentially the colonists, our founding fathers believed that the end justified the means, and the
right.
means that they were using are now within our idea of warfare. We had declared war on the British. We were at war, and so therefore we were combatants and not terrorists. So the definitions have changed somewhat. I don't think that anybody's morality says exactly what kind of war you have to wage or how you have to march, but rather that you have to declare yourself. These people did not declare themselves as combatants. They were simply taking flight classes. They simply took the plane up and then went over into that. And I think that's the distinction. And man, it's a tough one to make. You're absolutely right. But I think also he will not be beaten and he will not have butt love every day because I believe he will be in solitary. But thanks a lot for calling, man. Thanks a lot. You know, I like that point of view of just, well, I'm going to look at every side no matter what, even if it makes me say stuff that I think would get you beat up at any bar in New York. Okay, this is 866-313-FREE. We'll be taking probably more calls on this afterwards. People have stuff to say. Zacharias Massawi is going to spend the rest of his life in prison, but he will not be killed. I guess everybody wanted to spend the rest of his life in prison. Some people wanted that rest of that life to be really short. We'll be back after this. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette here. We're talking about Zacharias Massawi walking out of a courthouse, flashing the V for Victory sign, saying that he would be free, that George Bush was going to pardon him, and you've got a crazy guy. And what I don't like is, of course, I'm talking about his dysfunctional family in France that's part of the mitigating circumstances. I don't believe anything mitigates what he did. I just believe the death penalty is wrong, and also we want to learn from him later. But we had a guy calling up that said that the other inmates would get him, and I made the statement that he was going to be separate from the general population. And then do we have a prison guard?
We have a caller, yeah. Mark on line 5.
Yeah, Mark.
Let's talk to Mark.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, guys. I work in South Jersey. I don't want to give the prison name or my name. You can call me Mark, but I can assure you, I think you are right. He's going to be not in Gen Pop, but he still has to have 1 or 2 hours outside of solitaire, and we can always set it up if we want a couple of inmates to get at him. If we want to have a shot at him, we got a shot at him too. So it's not like he's going to be protected.
So no matter how, there's no such thing as solitary where you have no contact with other prisoners. Is that right? I just don't know.
Yeah, we can keep him from having contact with other prisoners, but we could also let other prisoners have contact, if you know what I mean.
I mean, they can do that, and I thought he was going to see nobody for all this time. He really will see other inmates?
Oh, he definitely will see other inmates. He might even see some other people that he's familiar with off the streets. He's not going to have protection. He's not going to have protection from the guards. And you're right, he's not going to be in Gen Pop, but we'll be sure to put a licking on him.
And because I mean, what happened to Dahmer? Was Dahmer in the same kind of situation?
Dahmer was different because he didn't stay away for that long. He kept coming back for more.
Uh huh. But so what you're saying is that they will let him out into the population of inmates, and that the guards will be able to let the inmates get to him. Do you think that's a good idea? Do you think he should be beaten up in prison? Do you think it'd be better for him to live a long life behind concrete? I guess he hung up. Is that right? They just dumped the call completely.
That's all right.
That's okay.
It happens sometimes.
It happens sometimes. One of the things is I kind of hope that he's not beat up badly by the other inmates or taken down by the guards, because I think that we learn a lot about that kind of person. You know, also, we don't know what else he has to tell us. And also,
we don't know that in 5 years he's not going to decide, well, Jesus is the way. I better tell you where Osama bin Laden is hiding.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't
know. Yeah, we
don't know.
We have no
idea.
He could change around completely. He's obviously a whack job, and whack jobs can move around and change their point of view very easily. We also do have him. If what he believes is true, which it certainly isn't, that he could be some sort of bargaining chip and that Bush could pardon him or something. But having him in prison is, I think, a stronger deterrent, not a deterrent, but a stronger symbol to Al-Qaeda than having put him to death. I mean, there's still some talking you can do if they want to get him out, which they don't. I mean, Al-Qaeda clearly doesn't care about this this joker. He couldn't even keep himself out of prison to finish flight school. You know, this is the low man on the totem pole. You know, let's go for another call. 866-313-FREE. I'm really interested in this editorial from the New York Daily News because it's so different than my point of view. But I'd rather hear what the callers have to say right now. 866-313-FREE, 3733, or penradio@gmail.com.
Okay, well, let's see if we can get Ahmed on line 7.
Okay, Ahmed.
Hey, what's happening, brother?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How are you, sir?
Good, good, good. I'd like to start by saying I love your show. I'm a new resident here in New York. I'm living in Bayville, and I came up from Canada, so it's the first time I've been able to listen to you, and I think you're great, man.
Oh, thanks so much, man. So what's up?
Excellent. Well, I just wanted to comment a little bit about what the one gentleman had talked about, you know, Islam and how, you know, this guy's got 40 virgins and so waiting for him, and he's a martyr. I think there's a little bit of a misconception. I mean, I'm Muslim myself, and I'm a firm believer that if somebody commits a crime, and if, you know, the allegations against this guy are totally true, then he should be punished, no doubt about it, you know. But I also believe that, you know, any sensible person, any sensible Muslim in America and North America, around the world, isn't going to see this guy as a representative of Muslims and Muslim beliefs. So I think in regards to what he said, I mean, this guy doesn't represent any Muslims in North America if the allegations against him are true.
You mean what you're saying is that What he was saying was, though, under his beliefs as fundamentalist Al Qaeda, he right. did believe in this life after death with martyrdom and all sorts. I don't think the number 40 is correct, and I'm not even sure that virgins is correct, but some sort of paradise afterwards. Certainly, there are people that all the terrorists, I think, shared that view. So, and they were in North America. So you're saying he's not speaking for you or for mainstream Islam, but he's not the only one with that point of view, is he?
I would say that you're correct in that statement, but, I mean, obviously the people that think the same way that he does obviously didn't read the Quran and, you know, don't spend enough time worshiping because they're just coming up with these silly schemes to, you know, undermine other people, but they obviously haven't read the Quran.
Well, the Quran does say that you attack and kill the attackers of Islam, but, of course, the context that you have to read the Quran in is that this was a group of people who were under siege and were battling for their way of life and for their safety. But Quran does say that.
It does. No, and you know what? And I really appreciate the way that you worded that, because at the time, yes, they were being oppressed and they were facing opposition during the time the Quran was revealed. But to take that in a literal sense nowadays, it's completely wrong, because anybody that overcomes a struggle of some sort, I mean, we all have personal struggles. My personal struggle sometimes could be, you know, getting up to go to work in the morning. That's a struggle. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I mean, but what I think there's no doubt, and far be it from me to be the one. I don't know how I get in these positions. I am now arguing the fundamentalist point of view of Islam. That's what happens when you have a radio show. But I will say that, but you cannot say that the Quran does not say the stuff that they say it says. It does say those things. You're the one that's saying, put it in context and do not take it literally. And for some, if you're talking about, I mean, you did not even use the word written. You used the word revealed. And if you're talking about the revealed word of God, who are you to say it shouldn't be taken literally? So there is an opening to interpretation, and you can understand those who are not Muslim being a little bit confused when the word on the page says one thing and the more mainstream Muslims say that, oh, we didn't really mean that exactly. And I think
You're definitely right at that. I mean, it leaves a lot to interpretation, and it leaves a lot to interpretation to the individual. And I think, you know, as Muslims living in North America, I mean, personally, I was born in Toronto in Canada, but, you know,
Blame yourself for that, sir.
Yeah. I'm not cheering for the Leafs. I'm not cheering for the Leafs. So.
Okay.
You know, but as Muslims in North America, I think that's where we need to step up. And, you know, we have been stepping up, you know, within our own sphere of influence, that, you know what, we're Muslims, we're North American, we're Americans, we're Canadians, you know, we were friends, we have friends that are non-Muslims, and, you know, if they think, okay, you know what, I've got a Muslim friend, this is how he acts, this guy who obviously, you know, committed some wrong to this country, or to my friends, to my family, this guy doesn't represent Muslims, because I know Muslims. So I think we need to step up as Muslims and represent it properly, because there is that interpretation there. And if we leave it up to people that don't know the history behind it, then there's going to be misinterpretation.
Right. Well, it certainly is, and it is your job and in your faction of Islam to make that very, very clear, because you cannot expect people who are not followers of Islam to study the Quran as deeply as you are. I mean, it does seem that many, many atheists do study the Quran and the Bible and the Torah much more closely than those who believe it. But still, it really should be your job to say who is speaking for whom. And when this guy is calling himself a Muslim, it's really your problem. And you can't blame people listening to him and people seeing the horrible tragedies these people bring about, the horrible crimes they bring about. It is going to make you look bad, and there's no way around that. And it's your job to get your people in line.
I don't disagree with you, brother. That's why I called you today. You know,
thanks
what I mean?
So much, man. Thank you so much. I have a great friend, one of my closest friends in high school, who was named Peter, changed his name to Amin, and married a woman from Iran. And he has been Muslim. I mean, from Greenfield, Massachusetts. You don't get less Muslim than that anywhere on the planet. From Greenfield, Massachusetts, and he converted to Islam and has spent a lot of time living in Iran. And he came out here last week to visit me, and I thought it was going to be really creepy that he was going to come in like dressed all in some sort of religious garb or something. But he came in looking just like he did in high school. 35 years older, and we had a great few days hanging out, and he hipped me to a lot of stuff because I hadn't had anybody. It's a very odd combination because here he was a Muslim, but his background was identical to mine up until the age of 18. You know, he had gone to the same high school and everything, and we spoke the same vocabulary and had been good friends. So I learned a lot about that, and that was a great call. We're going to be back. Maybe we'll talk some more about this. Maybe we won't. I don't know. 866-313-FREE. That's 373 PennRadio@gmail.com. I'm Penn Jillette, just thinking about this Zacharias Massawi verdict. Verdict's already gone in. The decision on the punishment. Searing guitar there by Jimmy Mack. I'm playing bass in that band. It's the Mike Jones Enormous Orchestra. Playing the Penn Jillette theme. If you want to hear more of that.
You never hear anybody saying searing bass, do you?
No, you never hear anybody say searing bass.
I just want to bring that up. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
It's the plodding bass of Penn Jillette. If you want to hear more of that music, it's at PennRadio.com. You can get a lot of the theme music. We'll lay it on you free. PennRadio@gmail.com is where you can write in. There's this article. We're talking about Zacharias Massawi taking a walk into a concrete box. And the New York Daily News today has a headline on the op-ed page. He'll burn after he rots. Zacharias Massawi will live. This is not justice. This is an abomination. This is a reprieve from hell for a soul who deserves an eternity in flames no less intense than the infernos that brought down the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001. That Massawi will suffer the tortures of damnation after a life in prison is of no comfort. No matter how entombed in concrete and steel he is, Massawi will breathe the air that Al-Qaeda denied to almost 3,000 murder victims. Until, to his everlasting surprise, he is greeted not by willing virgins, but by a vengeful maker. That's what the Daily News says about it. They're in New York. They have more validity in what they say than I do, being living out in Vegas. But I've got to tell you, I think if you believe in eternal damnation, waiting 40 years for it doesn't seem that heavy. I also think that we should find out all we can from this guy, and we should not make him a martyr. But the New York Daily News has a different point of view. Most of the callers have been kind of on the side of let him rot in prison for a long while. I've got a few Gmails I want to read because they're so interesting. 866-313-FREE, that's 3733, PennRadio@gmail.com. This says, hey, Penn, you got it wrong about the Revolutionary War. The founding fathers engaged in violence against their lawful government, so by current standards, they were terrorists. Love the show, Robert. Godot, we were talking during the break, and you said that the difference is that the colonists, our founding fathers, were fighting for freedom for their people and not for a lifestyle to be condemned by God. I mean,
it just seems to me that that the terrorists at this point are fighting to say shut up.
Yeah.
They're not saying we want to live this way. They're saying you stop living the way you live.
That's just going to be a part of it. We also have an answer here. It's funny. We got an answer to the Gmail from another person. This is Gregor. Both these cats are in Chicago. Colonists were hiding behind trees in North America shooting at British soldiers. They were not hiding behind trees in Britain shooting at British families. That may be the big distinction we want there from Gregor. I also want to clear this up. I don't like it when we of course, all we ever do on this show is make stuff up. But when we can get information, I like to have it. Massawi will be kept in a prison called USP Florence Admax, 90 miles south of Denver. Have you been to Denver? Denver's a hellhole. You know, it's up so
high. It's right
high.
At the edge of nice stuff, but yeah. It's on the wrong edge.
Yeah,
it's on the wrong edge
of the nice stuff. And you can't breathe. I have real trouble with altitude, you know, because I'm, you know, 290 pounds and I'm 6'6", and it's just hard to breathe. And the other reason I can really trash Denver is that our show does not air in Denver. So it's a really safe. You won't hear me say anything bad about Detroit. It's a supermax prison where Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, is kept. Moussaoui will be confined in a 7 by 12 foot cell. Picture that, 7 by 12 foot.
3 times the size of my train room on Ringling.
Yeah, that's the size of the studio we're in right here. 7 by 12 foot cell for 23 hours a day. For the 1 hour recreation period, they remain isolated and in chains. So what the guy said, well, I think the guy, the prison guard, was scamming us. You know, I think that was just a scam call. I don't think he really knew what he was talking about, but maybe he did. Inmates at Supermax prison have no physical contact with other prisoners whatsoever, which means if he's beaten or hurt, they will know it's a guard. My dad was a jail guard, albeit at a small little jail. He was really a jail guard, not a prison guard. A jail guard, like a drunk tank in Greenfield, Massachusetts, called Franklin County Correctional Facility. And my dad was maybe because he wasn't in one of the tougher prisons, but the men he worked with and all the correctional officers that I've met in my life have been very upstanding guys. So I think that if they were told, you don't beat this guy, you know, they might not beat him. All this is from the Chicago Tribune, the no physical contact with prisoners. And this was sent by our good friend Dave. Note the name, Dave. And I think he always refers to me as you monkey loving parasite farm. And
well,
I think
it's a list of people that he felt were good Daves, but I can't remember any of them. So Dave Brubeck, I guess, maybe.
Dave Brubeck wasn't that good. You know, take five. That was mostly the sax player that did that. This is another little letter here. If your definition of terrorism is to attack without declaring war, were the Japanese terrorists at Pearl Harbor? I think that's a rhetorical question, I think.
It was a military base.
Yeah. It was a military
base. Shooting at soldiers.
So, I don't know what you got. Another call you want to take?
Could sure. Let's talk to. Here's one on line five. Let's talk to Mike.
Hey, Mike. What's up, man?
Yeah. Hey, it's me again.
Again. Okay.
Listening to you guys talking about the freedom fighters and all that type of stuff, and it kind of got my blood up. Thinking about it. First of all, morality and war couldn't be further from one another. There's no such thing as a moral war. I mean, you're a well-read guy. I understand. Pick up Blood Meridian. It's a fantasy. There's no such thing as morality and war.
I agree with you completely, 100%.
And secondly, and my main point is, when a country declares war, they can do it for a great many reasons, and we can speculate about these reasons. But these reasons can be immoral, like going to burn brown people in a foreign land for oil.
Absolutely.
However, a guerrilla insurgency, and this comes from Condoleezza Rice and anyone who really knows anything about foreign policy and war, political guerrilla insurgencies are always political, from the IRA to what's going on in Iraq. Always political, and the only solution you will ever arrive at is either murder them to the man or a political solution. So by that rationale, a guerrilla war may be the most moral war. Because
right.
No one's doing it. You know, it's the old William Wallace quote, we fight not for honor, nor for glory, nor for riches, but for freedom and freedom alone. You know?
Right. But there is a slight distinction, I think, between guerrilla warfare and terrorism, isn't there, Mike?
Slight, and I do agree. You know, it's deplorable.
I mean, there's a real difference when you're in Vietnam and the people are fighting for their homeland, and we are over there. There does seem to be a distinction. I mean, if you're making these points about Vietnam, it seems to be much more relevant than something happening on our soil. And those people, I do not believe the people who killed in 9/11 were fighting for freedom. They were fighting for Allah. And the religious point is different than a freedom and political point. Isn't there a distinction there?
I totally see what you're saying, and I agree. But I mean, I've found it. I'm Scotch Irish, and I've found it very funny.
I'm so sorry.
The media has very rarely pointed out the IRA in all of this. You know, all the pundits talking about guerrilla war and all this, and they very rarely mention the IRA and the lessons that were learned from that. And that was as almost as much religious as this conflict we're having now.
But once again,
between the IRA fighting the English and the Americans fighting the English in our revolution, which I think you kind of alluded to, they weren't legal wars. America would not recognize Puerto Rico's right, one of their commonwealths, to declare war on, you know, Brazil.
Right. But I would go with the distinction that seems important to me is who's living there. And the bombings that took place and the attacks that took place in Ireland, I think, are different than the attacks that took place in London. And I think that during the Revolutionary War, we certainly have everything happening on the soil of the people who are living there. Now, there were, of course, people who were loyal to Britain living here, too. And that's where it gets a little bit tricky. But the difference is that I think that if the Twin Towers attack, the 9/11 attack, had happened on Afghanistan soil or Iraqi soil to American buildings, I would have a very different point of view than I have about people who were not even native-born Americans, but rather came over here with the idea of killing civilians. No idea of a military attack and no idea of fighting for their freedom, but rather fighting in a very real sense. I don't think this is a nutty thing to say. In a very real sense, they were fighting against our freedom. And if what you say, the quote, all battles are for freedom, then the battle for freedom in this case, I think, comes down on the United States' side.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. But one more thing that I'd like to add about modern war and guerrilla insurgencies, and you know, obviously I'm completely against the whole Al-Qaeda thing and 9/11 is horrible, I'm a native New Yorker, but the whole Geneva Convention and modern war and who's a guerrilla and who's a terrorist and who's a freedom fighter and whatnot, in my opinion, is largely BS, because the big boys, you know, France, Germany, and America, and all the big countries have gotten together with the big, huge armies and their big, huge dollar bills, and they've decided that if you're disenfranchised and you have no recourse, war is not even a recourse any longer, because if you don't have the investment capital to get uniforms and to make
right.
hold political rallies, you have absolutely no avenue to re-franchise yourself.
I really do agree that the whole size of wars now has changed an awful lot. Thanks a lot for calling, Mike. I'm cutting off a little bit because we're getting a little bit low on time. We got time for one more call, maybe?
Sure. Let's talk to Rob on line one.
I just want to talk to you, Rob. We're not going to talk to you long. I'm going to tell you that up front. So if I cut you off, I'm not being rude. It's just the clock on the wall. What's up, Rob?
Then I'll get it out real quick. I just think that what they should do, being that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and all of their beliefs against women, how low they feel about women,
mm-hmm.
what they should do to torture him in prison is just give him a sex change, you know? cut off his junk, make him a woman, and then hand him out to all the prisoners and just tell the prisoners, no, you can't kill him. You can just make your way with him all day long for the rest of his life.
Okay.
Totally
okay. This is not a comment for the Penn Jillette show. This is a penthouse letter. A guy just called in our show and said, "Dear Penthouse, I never believed your letters until there was a prisoner. I'll call him Zacharias Massaui. He came to our prison. I'll say it's somewhere in Colorado. We gave him a sex change and had our way with him!" !! This is Penn Jillette talking to you all. We'll be back tomorrow if we don't get caught. And this is Free FM. Thanks an awful lot for listening. Thanks an awful lot for your really smart, cool calls. And, you know, I wish I had something really poignant and important to say right now, but I don't. Goodbye!
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.